I want to ask you this morning, actually ask each and every one of us this morning, have we torn down the high places in our life? And when we think about the high places, we of course recognize that they were forbidden places of worship as presented in Scripture. We look in the first four verses of what was read from Deuteronomy the 12th chapter this morning. And it says, "These are the statutes and rules that you should be careful to do in the land that the Lord thy God your fathers have given you to possess. All the days that you live on the earth, you shall surely destroy all the places where the nations whom you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. You shall tear down their altars and dash in pieces their pillars and burn their asherim, that is their groves, with fire. You shall chop down the carved images of their God and destroy their name out of that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way." We look at the commandment that was given. And was in prospect to God's children going in and possessing the land that had been promised to them, going all the way back to the time of Abraham. And in that promise, the land was to be cleansed. Cleansed of that which was idolatrous, cleansed of that which was personal as far as their own desires and wishes. And we'll see how that ties in just a moment. They were to take out of the land the high places. We see in Numbers the 33rd chapter, verse 51 and verse 52, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you pass over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you will drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their figure stones, destroy all their metal images, and demolish all their high places." None were to be left. And there was a reason that God gave this commandment, because of the adverse influence that it would have upon his people for those places to stand and for those people of his to engage themselves in. When we think about this, there was an alternative that was made, and it was the only alternative that was authorized. It was that alternative that was by God where worship would take place. We look in Leviticus 17, verse 3 through 5. And here the command comes, says, "If anyone in the house of Israel kills an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or kills it outside the camp and does not bring it to the entrance of the tent of the meeting to offer it as a gift to the Lord in front of the tabernacle of the Lord, blood guilt shall be imputed to that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. This is to the end that the people of Israel may bring their sacrifices that they sacrifice in the open field, that they may bring them to the Lord, to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and sacrifice them as sacrifices of peace offerings to the Lord." You don't offer where you want to offer. You offer at the place that was designated by God himself. And we go back now to Deuteronomy 12 chapter, verse 10 through 14. And it says there, "But when you go over the Jordan, live in the land that the Lord God has given you to inherit, and when you give you, and when he gives you rest from all your enemies around so that you should live in safety, then to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell there. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your contributions that present, and all your finest vows offering that you vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male servants, your female servants, and the Levite that is within your town, since he has put no portion or inheritance with you. Take care that you do not offer your burnt offerings in any place that you see, but at the place that the Lord will choose in one of your tribes. There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I am commanding you." Prior to the people entering into the promised land, that movable tabernacle or tent, that was the place of worship. That is where the sacrifice was to be brought. But whenever the land would be established in one of the tribes that God would choose, and that would be the tribe of Judah, in the city of Jerusalem, there is where the sacrifices and the worship was to be offered. As a matter of fact, when you think about this aspect, and you go back to verse 15 of Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, it says, "Notwithstanding, you may kill and eat flesh in all your gates, wherever your soul desires, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which has given thee. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as of the hart. Only you shall not eat the blood. He says, wherever it is a common meal, you eat it wherever you want. But whenever it is sacrificed, you take it where God says that he wants it to be. And you do that. But you see, all through this time, Israel still held on to the high places. Notice with me in 1 Samuel 14, verse 35. Saul built an altar to the Lord. It was the first altar that he built to the Lord. That's King Saul, leader of the people. When we look at 1 Kings 3, 1 through 4, Solomon made a marriage alliance with the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her to the city of David until he had finished the building of his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were sacrificing at the high places. However, because no house had been built for the name of the Lord, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed, made offerings in the high places, and he went unto Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was a great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar, that is the altar that was in the high places. We're not really told what the draw was of these high places, but I think that we can imagine it. Mainly because of what people experience and say today about being out in nature and being in the majestic places that God has created, and how they report to us just how much closer they feel to God being in those places. And without a doubt, God has made majestic places on the face of this earth that are just awe-inspiring to behold. And it may have been that draw that took those people there, that made them feel in some way closer to God. But it was forbidden. It was forbidden. And here you have the wisest man that ever lived, and yet he gave over to those fleshly desires. We see it also in 1 Kings 22 and verse 43. Jehoshaphat walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. He was now king in Israel after Asa died. He did not turn aside from doing it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord, yet the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and made offerings in the high places. And this was when the temple was in Jerusalem, built, prepared, and by ordination of God, given to them for their place of worship, and yet they held on to that personal aspect of religion that was forbidden by the Lord. The influence of sin, from them hanging on to these things that tantalized the flesh, degraded not only their relationship with God, but it degraded themselves. And we see that when we look over in 1 Kings 14, 22 through 24. And Judah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins that they committed more than all their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places and pillars of Asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also male cult prostitutes in the land. They did according to the abominations of the nations that the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. And you see how good kings had come along, just as we mentioned, at least beginning with Solomon, also with Asa, how they held on to what the Lord said. They loved the Lord and did all the things that the Lord did, yet they hung on to the high places. And you see what was reaped among the people. That defilement and degradation, where no longer they were really looking to God, and no longer they resembled the people that God intended them to be, but they held on to that which they desired. And they built up the high places and they worshiped there. I want to ask the question, do we have high places in our life? Have we built them up? I'm not talking about physical ones. I don't know of any brother here or sister here that has a mountain they go to where they've built an altar and have done worship. But I'm talking about Do we have outside influences that are high places that adversely affect us? Think about it. When we became children of God, this is what we were to do. We were to crucify the old man of sin, that old way of life. And in a sense, that was a high place for us before becoming a child of God. We did what we wanted to do. We had some personal aspirations that we attended to in our life. But after becoming a child of God, as Paul says in Romans 6, verse 6 through 7, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for the one who has died has been set free from sin. We were to kill that old man that we had on the high places, put him to death, and bury him so that we would be set free from sin. That's what we were to do when we become children of God. We were to live lives in becoming children of God that were hidden in the Lord, just as Paul talks about in Colossians 3, 1 through 10, where he says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, not the high places of our heart and our desires, where he is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That is what we committed to do when we became Christians, so that we're not seen anymore, but rather Christ Jesus is seen in us. When Christ, who is your life, appears. And I love that wording there by Paul, because it sends a message. Message is that our life is not our own, but rather our life is Christ Jesus. We may do things as far as work is concerned. We may be things as far as our education or our experience is concerned. But what we really are, we're really Christ. We really belong to him. So when Christ, who is your life, appears, that you may also appear with him in glory. There is a contingent, a qualification. You want to appear with him in glory, he better be your life. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in your sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Don't think idolatry is dead. It is that which we will put before the Lord and that which we covet. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, which you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And the King James Version says, day by day, which it should be. Our lives are to be what is, and this was the commitment that we made. We are hid in Christ. People don't see us, they see the Lord. By the things that we desire, the actions, and the things that we do. We are to have that pure heart that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Flee youthful passions, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And anything other than that that we made commitment to, we have built high places. We've built high places and we're serving that. And that's where we go because it's personal. It's where our desires are. Do we make offerings in the high places? Think about it for just a moment, if you would, with me. How we use our time. And I'll tell you that in today's world, one of the most precious commodities that exist is time. And we'll make comments. It seems as though there are just not enough hours in the day. Time gets away. Time flies. And we are a time-based people. And whether we realize it or not, we can be a people that serve the idol of time. We serve the idol of time. Notice what Peter says, 1 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whosoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You put yourself second. You put yourself below Christ Jesus. You suffered in the flesh. You therefore cease from sin when you do that. so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. We don't leave the world to serve God. We serve God in this world, and that's how we use our time. But do we build high places with our time? God, you'll get yours, but it's going to be after I get mine. You know, there's an aspect of this I think about, and I don't see anywhere in Scripture where Solomon was chided for what he did. It took 7 years to build the temple by Solomon, the one that was built by Solomon. It took 7 years. It took much longer, and with much greater grandeur was the king's house, the house that he built for himself. And I think that we see in there just a little bit, even though God didn't tell him, you should not have done that, the greatest of the structures should have been the temple, even though God didn't say that to him, I think we see an inkling, an indication of the high places of his heart that was set up and what he did not withhold from his heart. And he built for himself a much grander place than even the place where worship unto God was going to be done. And I think we see it played out in his life. As we go to 2 Kings, the 9th through the 11th chapter, how he turned his heart away from the Lord and began to worship idols. And I think about that in connection with this, how we use, and he used his time more, it appears, in self-service rather than in service unto God in that. There's a danger there. But also, do we build the high places in how we use our resources? And I look at what Paul has to say in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Stop right there for just a moment, because everything that is taking place in this world today tells you that's foolish. It tells you that godliness, which is God-towardness, with contentment is not great gain. That is not what you should want. You should want more for yourself. You should heap upon yourself much greater than that. And that's what all the commercials are about and all the ads are about. And that's what this life is about. And that's the reason that each and every one of us receive crisp, brand new credit cards in the mail. Already with our names on it, just call the number on the back and activate that card. Just do it. Because contentment can't be had without it. Contentment can't be had without material things. Paul says godliness, God-towardness with contentment is great gains. In other words, being contented in that which is God-toward or holy. For we've been brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of this world. We cannot take anything out of this world. But if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. And I think that age has a factor in that. I think as you get older, I believe that you start to realize the truth in that matter. When we're younger, we work, we get things, and we enjoy the things, and there's nothing wrong with that. As long as the Lord is first, there's still nothing wrong with us getting things and having things and using things, and that's wonderful. And many times when we get older, we say it's time to downsize. Those things are really not important anymore. But there should be that determination of godliness with contentment that should be there. Malachi 3rd chapter verse 9 through 11, where we make a spiritual application to what we're talking about here. God says through Malachi to Israel, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soul, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. If you will put me first, and if you will make provision for that which is holy rather than for yourself, you'll be blessed far above what you can even imagine. I'll take care of you. And that's what God says. And I realize that's a general aspect in which he is speaking, and that there are those that go through hard times in their life and so forth. But I'll tell you, and I've said this before, I don't know of a Christian that's truly following God's will that is absolutely destitute at all times. They'll be cared for. And God has made sure of that. But do we use our resources, in a sense, in the high places that we build? That's where we're going to put our energy and our resources. Lord, you can have the leftovers of that after I spend everything else on what I want to do, whether it be time, whether it be money, whatever. You can have the leftovers of that. That was the accusation, actually, that was being made by God through Malachi to the people. Not only that, they had offered the halt and the blind and the blemished as an offering to the Lord. And he says to them, go and offer it to your earthly governors, to your earthly rulers, and see how they accept it. And you bring that to the God of heaven. Have we built high places with our resources? How we use our energy. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, when we forget this aspect, when we forget the aspect of what is mentioned here in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When we as Christians forget our purpose, and we get to the point of checking the box, well, I went to church. Yeah, that's the work that I've done, Lord. You need to like that because that's my part. I was there. May not be there Sunday evening. May not be there Wednesday. But I made it on Sunday morning. I'm there. Is that a high place that we have built? Because we then begin to worship God the way that we want to, rather than the way that he would have us to worship. When we look over 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, which he also repeats, of course, over in Galatians 6 and verse 9, Paul says, as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good or in well-doing. And there are those that, with their energy, grow weary, and for their respite, they build their own high places and do what they want to do, rather than truly working for the Lord. Lord, if I have time and I get around to it, I'll put some effort out. Lord, don't hold your breath. Is that our attitude? Let me ask you. Do we hold up our pride? Do we build the high places in connection with our pride of life? Notice what is stated in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. And I know there are six things here, but they deal with an attitude that is prevalent by those that are not serving the Lord and will not look to him, but rather build their own high places, so to speak. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devised wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. And all of that stems from, really, pride. And you think about what we are being taught in society today. Look in the paper, in the ads in the paper. Look and listen at the commercials that are on TV. How many times do you hear the words, you deserve it? You deserve it. Whatever it is they're trying to sell, you deserve it. And that is that thought that our society has gotten down into, which really tantalizes the mind and says, yes, I deserve those things. I deserve that entitlement aspect. I deserve it. Rather than what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12, aspire to live quietly. Well, there's some good advice here. Aspire to live quietly. And to mind your own business, your own affairs. That's some pretty good advice, isn't it? And you see a lot of trouble coming from people that won't do those first two. and to work with your own hands, not because you deserve it, but because you earn what it is that is given to you, and you only earn it because it is given to you by God. As we instructed you, so that you walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Where we look at that, that takes away that aspect of pride that is out there in this world today that is being pushed off on us. You deserve. We deserve nothing. Thanks be to God that gives us the things that we have. Do we offer up our children? I want everyone, if you've missed everything else, please be awake and please listen to this part of the lesson. I plead with you. When we look at Psalm 127, verse 3, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." They are the Lord's, they're a heritage to us, they are put in our control, but to be raised for the Lord. And I wonder if we build the high places so that our children see, well, the Lord's really not important to the parents. Other things are important. And it's not only with the parents, but also, as we see in Proverbs 17, verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of the children are the fathers. It's not just about the example that is set forth in the high places that are built by the parents, but also by the grandparents and great-grandparents. If we have great-great-grandparents, however many times we got it here, by people in this congregation, do we build high places for our children to behold? Or the things that we engage in, they see Christ Jesus? Or do they see things of the flesh as most important to us? Awesome responsibility. That's the reason Paul says in Ephesians 4 and verse 6, fathers, I want you to notice who the primary responsibility falls upon. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You tear down those high places in your life so that Christ Jesus is what they see in the way that you live and the choices that you make and what your true desires are. Do we, in building our high places, put on top of them a cross and crucify Jesus again? Hebrews 6, verse 4 through 6. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit, have tasted the good word of God and the powerful deeds of the age to come, and have fallen away, to renew them again to repentance. See, they crucify again for themselves the Son of God afresh and hold Him up to contempt. I know the context is dealing here with those that would go back under the Mosaic law, because then they would be looking for a Messiah, but the Messiah had already come. I know that's the context. Here's the principle. Here's what we glean from that teaching. When we build those high places, and that's where our desires are, we crucify Jesus again. We put Him to death and what He did for the forgiveness of our sins, not in that good sense, but in that negative sense. Lord, You're dead in my life. Lord, You mean nothing to me. Because I have things that I want to do, things I want to engage in. I want to use my money my way, and I want to train my children the way that I want to train them, and You're out of the picture. Have we crucified Jesus on that high place that we've set up? In so many ways, people still go to high places to offer their sacrifices, but it's not sacrifice to God, it's sacrifice to self. It's self-sacrifice. It's their own idols that they have devised in their own minds. Here's the application to this. So many things can adversely influence us. That's the reason that Israel was told, you take those places out of the land that I give you. You worship where I tell you to worship. You are guilty if you don't bring the sacrifice to the Lord and you try to serve me in a personal way that you want rather than in the way that I've instructed you. And to leave those high places there, it will turn your heart away. That's exactly what happened. So many things distract us in this life. Boy, they are out there. That would call us unto them. And they're on high places, so to speak. They're not hidden in any sense of of thought or term whatsoever. They're out there for all to see. All the things that would draw us away from the Lord, they are there. They are there to distract us on those high places. Let's be sure we've torn down the high places, serve God where we should. Notice what is stated in 1 John 3:19-21. Hereby shall we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our heart before Him. Because if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness toward God. If you build high places, your heart condemns you because of what God says in connection with serving Him, that He needs to be in your, He needs to be your life. It needs to be my life. But if your heart does not condemn you, that means that you look to God and you follow His will. There may be those here this morning that are not Christians. They've not been baptized for the remission of their sins. Let me tell you what you've done. You built a high place. You said, that's where I trust. God's not there. Christ is not there. But that's where I trust. That's a false hope. You built your high place where you should not worship. But the high place is Jesus Christ on the cross and coming down from that cross and being on this earth alive and then returning to heaven to sit at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's where we look. Will you come to Him, tear down your high place in your life and come to the high place of the Lord, to the worship place of the Lord, Christ Jesus, be baptized this day for the remission of your sins. And those of us that have already become Christians, have we resurrected those high places that we once had when we weren't Christians? And now they are our idols. Tear them down. Come out from among them, says the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. I will be your God and you shall be my people. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Tear down those high places and serve God. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing. Happy food.